Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sinai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick, some notes for you. First, we want to send our best wishes to former guest of the show, someone I've known a long time, Tom Van Zandt. Tom had emergency surgery last night. He had appendicitis and also an infection that caused him to take out part of his colon. He is still in ICU, still not out of the woods, but they think he'll be just fine within the next several days, so thoughts out to Tom Van Zandt. If you're looking for some wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight, Future Stars of Wrestling in Las Vegas, Nevada, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, BOTB in Addison, Ohio, 321 up here in our neck of the woods in Seattle, Washington, Primetime Wrestling having a rookie showcase slash benefit show in Paris, Kentucky, Supreme Wrestling featuring Jason Kincaid in Madison, Indiana, AWF in Scottsdale, Arizona. Tomorrow night, Bobby Eaton tribute show happening in Knoxville, Tennessee. WCWO on the road. Tomorrow they will be in Elwood, Indiana. Northwest Pro, where you can find myself tomorrow night in Vaughan, Washington. DCW featuring Casey Carlisle in Marydale, Delaware. EWE in Jeffersonville, Indiana. WPW in Collinsville, Illinois. SCWA in Wheeling, West Virginia. Crab Wrestling in Ashburn, Virginia. Cascade in Spokane, Washington. And DCW happening in Ocean Springs, Mississippi tomorrow. So there's lots of wrestling out there this week. Go find yourself a show. Our guest should be on shortly, but QT sounds like a full docket tomorrow. And I believe you plan on being at the All Steel Cage Show tomorrow night in Vaughan, do you not?
Yes, I plan to make the trip out to Vaughan and witness only like my second or third cage match in the Northwest. They're pretty rare. Pretty rare.
They are a bit rare up here. Of course, Blue Collar Wrestling has the annual War Games match inside of a steel cage, but a little bit different. And I believe our guest has joined us, QT. Let's bring him on right away. Lost Calls, Anthony Lee, are you with us?
I am with you.
Well, we want to thank you for being with us here today. We appreciate you taking the time. And it's been a very long time since you were on this show with us, but one of the things that we wanted to ask about, something that came up in our conversation last week on our show, you were involved in a pretty nasty situation with a chicken. Can you tell us what happened with the chicken?
I was driving around my hometown, and there was an SUV about 50, 70 feet in front of me. I was following them kind of close because they were driving kind of, they were not very polite on the road, so I was kind of being rude back. And then a chicken runs out of the field into the road, and they slam on their brakes, and I completely totaled my car while doing no damage to their bumper at all. Like, their car has no damage on it. They drove away. And according to my insurance company, they haven't even contacted them.
What was the status on the chicken? Is there a residual heat with that chicken? Do you plan on getting revenge on Cousin Cooter? How is this working?
I would rather not get revenge on Cooter. That just doesn't sound like a good time for me or him. Worst time for him. I'm cool with being up Cooter any day. But there's plenty of heat with the chicken. My wife is Sadie Vanderkamp. She is a longtime vegan. The chicken nestled down on my totaled engine because it liked the heat. So when the tow truck, the wrecker came to pick up my car, the chicken jumped onto Sadie's shoulder, and she turns and looks at it, and she's like, "You're really lucky I'm vegan, because I was about to," and she's like, "I would deep fry you if I wasn't."
Veganism saves yet another life.
Yeah, well, so, there is now an Anthony Lee versus chicken shirt on fullygimmick.com and on my pro wrestling tee store. So at least the chicken has gotten me quite a few merch sales. So I haven't quite recouped a car out of it yet, but I'm going to use that chicken's IP to get myself some money.
No fault in that, for sure. I'm just glad both of you and the chicken were all fine. That was a scary-looking incident from what I saw.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had a nice, had a very nice concussion that I got to wrestle with that weekend.
Those are never a fun day at the office to have.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with a couple concussions.
Sometimes in the same night, yes. Now, you tonight on this very night are going to one of your home promotions, WCWO, located there at the Outlaw Arena. And you've been with them for quite some time, have held the championships there, and you've seen a lot of talent pass through those doors at the Outlaw Arena at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis. As someone that has now been around for a few years now and has some experience going for them, in your opinion, who are some of the better young talents that fans should be paying attention to in that area right now?
In Indianapolis in general?
Yeah, in Indianapolis in general.
The top two talents, not necessarily youngest. I believe they're both older than I am. The two newest talents that should definitely be getting paid attention to is the natural Nate Matthews. He is an incredibly athletic and talented individual. He's been wrestling a little over a year now. And then, of course, Justin Kyle, who is a terrifying individual that has been beating my ass all over the state of Indiana in the last year. I believe I was his first match, and I took a whooping that night. And of course, you know, there's also the whole IFHY crew. They all put on extremely entertaining shows, and they're definitely somebody you want to have on your shows. But as far as, like, youngest and newest talent, I would say Justin Kyle and Nate Matthews are the two that everybody should be watching for.
They for sure are very, very good. I'm impressed with both of those talents. Now, since you do have a level of experience now, like we said, and there seems to be a growing crop of young talents in the Midwest, have you ever considered getting into the training end of the business and personally training people for wrestling?
I have helped with the on-hand training for a couple of individuals. I don't have the knack for it. I am good at some extra guidance, you know, helping people, like, you know, train on a couple things specifically, but I'm not one to run drills. I don't have a mind for it. When I have younger people and newer people ride with me to some other shows to get the extra ring time, when they ask me to show them things in the ring or ask me if I can help them out, my mind just goes blank. I can wrestle well enough, I believe, but training is just not my thing.
And we mentioned also the concussion you had in the incident with the chicken. I know you've had a few injuries over the course of your career that you've had to overcome. It's just part of the business, if you're in it for very long, to get injured. What are some of the injuries that you've had to tackle thus far?
The worst injury I've had has been my left knee. I did a show in 2010. It was the first time I ever wrestled as a babyface. I'm a natural bad guy. So I'm trying to hype myself up backstage, and my music starts playing. I have a manager with me as a guy by the name of Zach Cass. And during my entrance, I get halfway down the entrance ramp, and I'm all, you know, jazzed up, hyped up. I got my hair all wet. And I jump off the ramp, and when I land, I dislocate my knee and collapse. We ended up taping my knee up in the back, and I went out about 30 minutes later. We moved our match down. I basically wrestled my whole match with Jacob Johns, hobbling on one knee, on one leg, trying. And then I tried to do a shooting star press because I thought I was flippy at the time. But besides from that, I've wrestled with broken ribs. I've had about 6 concussions now. I blew my knee out, the same knee, years later, doing a backflip to counter a back body drop. And then I dislocated my shoulder hitting somebody with a lariat.
You must have really hurt them if you hurt your own shoulder.
I believe I left a giant welt on their chest, and I bruised like a decent amount of their chest and one of their shoulders. But they were a hefty fellow. I had to put a little bit of extra gumption in.
Now, someone else that is out right now, they had emergency surgery a few weeks ago, and there is now a benefit happening this coming Sunday for them, that being Jake AO, the chairman of WCWO. I've known him since he was just starting out in the business as a teenager, one of the great guys in professional wrestling, has helped tremendous amounts of wrestlers in and out of the ring over his career. I know you know him very well as well, and you're going to be on that benefit show. What's it like working a benefit show for someone like JKO that has put on numerous benefit shows for other people?
Honestly, any benefit show I work in, we work at the same as any other show. But I took a day off of one of my jobs to make sure I could be there for Kid. I owe Kid a lot, so if I have a chance to be a part of something that benefits him, I'm definitely going to be a part of it. But I'm glad to see as many people come together, because Congo Kong and a couple others are coming in. People that normally would not wrestle in this area, people that wouldn't normally come down. I'm not saying they wouldn't come down for something like that, but people that don't wrestle, you know, for cheap, coming down, bring in the biggest crowd we can, you know, help Kid out every way that we can.
Absolutely. It was very nice to see it came together very quickly and looks to be going pretty smoothly.
Oh, for sure.
Obviously,
there's a very good...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there were some very good brothers sitting on that show. Some young talent that Kid has been very hands-on with training and getting started in this business are the ones that organize the event. And then, of course, Dane Paisley is helping host it. So the show is being put together by some newer talent that owe Kid a lot. and it'll definitely be a good show.
Absolutely. I think the list of people that owe Kid a lot is a very, very lengthy one. I'm definitely on that list for sure. So I'm hoping it's a completely full house and you raise a lot of funds for him. Now, you mentioned Zane Paisley, and he's also someone I know fairly well. He has become one of the premier ring announcers in the state of Indiana. He's worked for numerous companies over his ring announcing career. He's looking to branch out into Florida come WrestleMania week. But as someone that has been to a very large number of promotions, you obviously have seen a lot of ring announcers. And on the independents, there are some very, very good ones, and there are some that are just kind of thrown into the job without much guidance, and it usually shows. Who would you say are some of the better ring announcers in your area right now that promoters might want to get a hold and help better their shows by utilizing them?
Well, there are four very, very, very good ring announcers, fantastic ring announcers in Indiana that I, on the promotions I work for, and then a couple up in Michigan use the same guy. But Zane Paisley is fantastic, and absolutely. Ryan Anderson is like the king of Northern Indiana and Michigan as far as ring announcing. Ryan Anderson is my favorite ring announcer. He hypes up the crowd so much. He hypes up every wrestler. He is a fantastic person to have on any show. WCWO, there's an English gentleman, Earl Joseph. They call him the Liverpool Lip. He took up ring announcing after breaking his wrist in a match earlier this year, and he's just taken to it so well. He has the fantastic speaking skills. He is the host of the WCBO show every week that hypes up the talks about and reveals the card for WCBO every Friday. And then there's a young lady named Dolly St. Clair, who has very recently started ring announcing, but she has a lot of heart for it, and she's looking to expand, and people should definitely be looking to bring her to their shows.
And I would like to point out, saying that because it's Zane Paisley's birthday today.
Oh, is it? I should tell him happy birthday. Zane Paisley was the officiant of my wedding.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, me and Sadie Vanderkamp got married in the parking lot at WCBO with Apollo Starr and Drew Skills as our witnesses, and Drew did the little ceremony, and we signed the paperwork on the back of, I think it was Jonathan Wolf's car.
That sounds like an amazing time, having the Soul Shooters as the witnesses of your wedding.
Oh, yes, for sure. It was probably the most wrestling thing I've done, but...
It sounds like it.
Anything for a good story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I was there, to be honest. Not just because I could have officiated myself, but, you know, I would have liked to have seen that. For the fans that are familiar with your work, and they should be if they're paying attention, you are not only one of the more powerful guys on the independent circuit in the Midwest, you're one of the more agile guys as well. You can move around like someone that's much lighter than what you actually are. I'm sure you have come across opponents that have a fair amount of agility as well, be it a fellow big man that's just naturally agile, or the smaller cruiserweights that have really, really agile moves. Who would you say has been the most agile opponent that you have ever faced?
The most agile I've ever faced would probably be, I'd have to say Ace Perry. Or actually, I'm going to take that back. Justin Kyle is extremely agile and very powerful. He has some amazing leaping skills because at Emerge Wrestling about a month ago, he dove from the ring over the post, over the announcer's table, and hit me in the audience with a flying forearm. And then in Michigan, there is a man named Dre Jacobs, who is about 320 pounds or so. And that is the most, he is by far the most athletic person I've ever been in the ring with. I have never seen a man that size move the way he does. And it's a shame that I don't see him everywhere in the Midwest.
Fans, definitely search out the names he just gave you.
Yeah, Ace Perry is definitely the most athletic small guy I've ever worked with. But Kyle and Justin Kyle and Dre Jacobs are two massively athletic and powerful individuals. I only hope to eventually see them in the ring across from each other. That's going to be a very, very fun match to watch.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure QT has a few questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for just a bit.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Welcome back, Anthony.
How are you doing, QT?
I'm doing very well, very well. Struggling personally with these weekly 9 7/8 Northwest wrestler rankings that I have to put out on a pretty much weekly basis. A lot of people get hurt when they are not ranked number one and thus receive the Turnbuckle Turmoil fruit pie. It's a burden in my life. Yes. I'm pretty much struggling with that and a six pack of alcohol every week. But anyway, I saw your YouTube video entitled "Will He Lose Again versus Buck Sexton versus Anthony Lee," officiated by referee Wayne Silver. How many matches have you been in where the referee was indeed Wayne Silver?
Wayne Silver has refed probably 50% of my matches this year. He is my referee 90% of the time at WCBO. I've been there every Friday this year, give or take a week or two. But Wayne Silver has been my referee a lot, easily half the year, half my matches.
Well, like all referees, if they stick around long enough, they can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. To your knowledge, has referee Wayne Silver ever suffered any leg injuries due to an out-of-control wrestler being thrown a little bit too hard and in a direction that he was not supposed to go?
Did you find the video where I powerbombed somebody at him?
I did not see that video. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what the name of that video was? I'd like to see that.
I do not believe I know. It's probably on Wayne Silver's YouTube page. If the referee's name is in it, that's definitely his page. We had a street fight with myself and Kai Faden. And when I went to pick Kai Faden through a chair I set in the corner, Wayne Silver got in my way, picked the chair up, and threw it out of the ring. So I powerbombed Kai Faden onto him in the corner.
Wow. This was.
And then
take
Kai.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Yes.
I picked Kai Faden through the chair.
This wasn't a chair that was made up of a triple thick seat cushion made up of the softest foam rubber, plus two of the legs made out of foam rubber and the other two legs made up soft steel. It wasn't that soft of a chair, was it?
No.
Oh, okay. I see. It was probably an unforgiving prison chair, of which I'm familiar. Yes, probably.
Probably.
My question is, did you have a chance to analyze this chair after the match? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, no, there wasn't much left in the chair to analyze.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now in that match with Willie Lose Again, Buck Sexton, and yourself, I saw where when the announcer called out Willie Lose Again, that he emerged from the edge of a forest that was approximately 40 yards from the ring. It took him about 26 seconds to emerge, then cross the road and go around a dugout and set foot on the ring apron. In fact, one of the posts of the ring is near where second base would be. Did you yourself inspect the outfield that the ring was sitting upon, and was second base underwater?
I cannot say for sure. The match that you're talking about happened in May of last year. I've had at least 200 matches since then. It's not very fresh in my memory.
Oh, okay. Well, it took place on a baseball field. The announcer's booth was pretty high. The announcer's booth.
Oh, I'm familiar. That's the baseball diamond. That's in the town I grew up in. That was a show. I'm sort of a hometown hero to the people in Knightstown, Indiana, CWF. I just don't remember the details of the match itself, like the, you know, the decor, or not the decor, how the weather was and setting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I took a close look at, one of the ring posts was near second base, and Sign Guy recently did a Sign of the Times where he was coming live from an undisclosed baseball diamond, or softball. I think it was a hybrid softball-baseball diamond, where second base was underwater. Now, I took a look at the field of your match, that softball diamond, and I was wondering if second base may have had a little bit of standing water near it. It didn't appear to me like it was. In fact, I think your match took place in May. I think the video was posted on May 20th. So I think the ground was fairly hard at that time. Yes.
It may have been underwater.
Oh, well, okay.
I do know by the end of the night that it was raining, but I'm not sure about earlier.
Uh-huh. See, now in Indiana, around the parts where that match took place, you usually get some thunderstorms bubbling up during the evening when it kind of cools off and the sun goes down. I took a close look at one of the stanchions on the right side of the video, and it was leaning like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was like at an 80-degree angle, and it wasn't at a 90-degree angle. I think maybe that ring was set up on marshy ground, in my estimation. Yes. Marshy ground.
Okay. Could be.
No, oh, all right. Well, Anthony, what was your game plan against Willie Lose Again coming into the match? Because in my video analysis, he appears to be an inch taller than you and probably only 20 pounds lighter. So you were pretty much evenly sized, especially in the foot size. He has gigantic feet. But I digress. What was your game plan against Willie Lose Again?
My game plan in every match is usually the same, because no matter the size of the opponent, however big or small, I know I can suplex them. I know I can hit them really hard, and my lariat knocks down everybody.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now your suplex had a little bit of trouble getting off the ground because you tried to get him up for a vertical suplex at the 405 and the 410 mark of the match, but he blocked this both times, and you only got him up at a horizontal plane to the mat, kind of a parallel, yes, parallel to the mat. And at the 410 mark, he hit you with an inside cradle for a two count. Were you surprised at his collegiate style quickness and his ability to counter your vertical suplex attempts?
Maybe a little bit. Luckily, I have more than one type of suplex. My hubris got the better of me. He was about my size. I thought I could vertical suplex him. Normally, I can. I just wasn't expecting that much fight from him.
Well, that's true, because Anthony, after you kicked him in the stomach, and I'm talking about Buck Sexton, you suplexed him at the 8-minute and 8-second mark, and that would be your first suplex of Buck, made your first suplex of Buck Sexton successful after your 4 suplex attempts of Willie Lose Again. And you didn't hit a suplex on Willie Lose Again until the 8:19 mark. But then by that part of the match, you would hit 2 suplexes in a row at the 8-minute and 8-second mark and 8:19 second mark. By that time, you were a vertical suplexing machine. Yes. My question is, is that your top offensive move, the vertical suplex?
No, my top offensive, aside from my finishing moves, which is I'm very keen on using a lariat to knock people out. I also am very big on using the abdominal stretch.
The abdominal stretch, very okay. All right. Well, now granted, one of your suplex attempts on Willie Lose Again, you were about to hit a successful one, but Buck Sexton gave you a chop block to your right calf area, right calf and right hamstring at the same time, and that was a chop block when you were about to hit Willie with it. Speaking of chop blocks, did you yourself play 3 years of high school football? You mentioned something about that on your way to the ring or something. Yes, when you were addressing the crowd.
Yeah, that was, like I said, that's the town I grew up in. I played for the Knightstown Panthers in high school before I moved to Greenfield, Indiana. And then when I moved to Greenfield, Indiana, I joined theater instead.
Oh, wow. Now that's quite the switch from football to theater. How did football prepare you for the rigors of theater?
I became the strongest one in theater, so I was able to lift all the set pieces that needed to move that were too big for everybody else.
Wow. Now, did you participate in the all-time classic Midsummer's Night Dream?
No, I did not. We actually did that. They did that the year before I joined theater. My first show I did was the musical South Pacific.
Ah, South Pacific. Wow. All right. Okay. Now, did they make, for that stage setup, did they have a modified shipwreck? Was South Pacific, wasn't that based around a shipwreck?
No, we did not have a shipwreck.
South Pacific. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans a brief synopsis of what South Pacific is about? Isn't it about a romance that's set in Tahiti?
It is, but the shipwreck happens off the shipwreck itself mostly happens off screen. Cable dying. I think it was Cable. It's been a long time, sir. I was just in tech. But it was a romance in Tahiti, but the shipwreck and the death of the character both happened off screen. I don't believe we had a actual full shipwreck, because I think we did most of those scenes off to the side. Off to the side of the stage.
Okay. Well, now, speaking of shipwrecks, if you could transport yourself to the set of Gilligan's Island, and you wrestled about the only person there that I think could give you a match, it wouldn't be Mr. Howell or Ginger or Marianne. I'm talking about the skipper. How do you think you do against Alan Hale in a wrestling match? Alan Hale.
I have never seen Gilligan's Island, so I cannot tell you. I am pretty confident in myself. I'm pretty sure I could beat him anyway, even if I don't know who he is. But I've never seen Gilligan's Island.
I am shocked and saddened. It seems like a baby boomers like myself who grew up on Gilligan's Island and Batman, actually when they were live, during their live years, even though I was very young, I have a sense of loss when I hear Generation Xers like you who have never seen the artistic beauty of Gilligan's Island. Anthony, I am now assigning you a homework assignment to look up the rock group the Mosquitoes on Gilligan's Island. You'll become an instant fan of Gilligan's Island by looking up the Mosquitoes.
Okay, I will make an effort to do that. Also, I'm not Gen X, I'm a millennial.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. All right. Well, when you do look up the three Mosquitoes, I mean, actually, there were four of them. Four of them. Bingo, Bango, Bongo, and Irving. Can you listen closely to their song, I'm a Loser, and then you can get back to Sign Guy and tell him what you think about it. He'll look forward to this.
All right, so I'm a Loser by the Mosquitoes. I will do that.
No, but this is okay, very good. All right, very good. All right, well, Anthony, you got Willie loose again. Willie loose again to tap out in a modified Boston Crab at the 9:50 mark of the match. And as you exited the ring, Willie loose again entered the ring and laid it down. It appeared that Willie loose again wanted no part in impeding your exit walk. In fact, Willie's return to the ring to let you pass and even laying down in the ring reminded me that in a typical hyena clan, there is one alpha female who is even more powerful than the males. Would you agree that in this match, you were the alpha hyena and Willie loose again was the omega?
I would say that... I don't know if I would call Willie loose again an omega. I would say Buck Sexton probably would take that. I think Willie loose again is more of a scavenger, if anything. Bottom tier, like lowest of it.
Okay, I'm going to move Willie loose again up to beta status, hyena beta status, one step below
okay.
The alpha phoenix. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, very good. All right. Okay. Well, what is your prediction for the December 13th WCWO match against Jake Omen and Ace Perry? Is this like the New England Patriots versus the Vikings, both equally talented teams, although they're not a team, they're individuals? What's your prediction?
They're both incredibly talented. Jake Omen is somebody I've been looking up to since I started wrestling there, so I have to give the nod to him. Ace is very, very good. He's been doing these 30-minute Ironman matches every week, defending his WCBO heavyweight title. But I don't know if he has it in him to defend against Jake Omen successfully. I think he may have been off more than he can chew taking that challenge.
Okay. All right. Well, Anthony, in this video of this outdoor match on what could have been a flooded second base, I was struck by the boots you were wearing. How old are your boots, and how much money did you put into them? Your boots were pretty much alpha boots, in my opinion.
Were they were my black boots in that video, right?
Yes.
I had my black boots for 9 years. I bought them my first year of wrestling. They were retired around Christmas this year when I got a pair of white boots that I've been wearing this whole year. But I bought those boots from the sale bin on ProWrestlingBoots.com for $99 shipped.
Wow. Hey, that's not bad. Not bad at all. You know, you've got to be thrifty these days. Even though the economy is doing relatively well, little things seem to be keeping adding up. I'm glad you got a good deal on those boots. Yes.
Because
you never know when a chicken is going to cause a car crash. Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I hear that. Yes. Okay. Well, Anthony, I do wish you luck on your Mosquitoes on Gilligan's Island, a rock band that suddenly appears on the island and sings their hit song, He's a Loser. And you can look at Marianne and especially Mr. Howell's reaction when he first hears this rock band. And I look forward to your comments when you get back with Sign Guy on this, your observations. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Yes.
Okay. Nice talking to you, QT.
Oh, okay. Very good. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Anthony, one of the things that has been sort of a hot topic in professional wrestling in the last few years has been the amount of blood in professional wrestling. Some people feel that there's not a place for it in this day and age. Some people think there is a limited place for blood during a wrestling show. There's wide variety of opinions on it, and as we learn more about bloodborne pathogens and so forth, it becomes a hotter topic. What's your personal opinion on having blood on wrestling shows?
I am an advocate of blood on wrestling shows. Some matches, it's just going to happen. I think I've seen some matches stopped because of blood, and I feel that's unnecessary if two guys are going at it hard enough that blood occurs in the match, and I feel like it adds to the story and just kind of adds to the intensity of the match. And so I'm personally not against blood. I've had a fair share of blood in my time.
Now, you, of course, have wrestled for a wide variety of promotions, and a lot of companies out there utilize death matches. Some promotions are nothing but death matches, like CZW has tons of those on every show. There's promotions that exclusively do them. Some promotions do just the occasional death match here and there. What's your opinion on wrestling in the death matches? Are you like open to doing those type of matches, or do you personally stay away from that, or do you have a strong opinion?
I would like to do one. I have been in contact with a couple of people. I don't want to do one for, you know, cheap. Definitely not for like my normal wrestling rate, for sure. But I would like to have at least one death match before I get much older.
Now, looking at the landscape of things, there are a lot of people that were in the death match scene that still live in your general vicinity that I'm sure you've come across a few of them, people like Madman Pondo and people like Necro Butcher, Pastor Payne, Tracy Smothers was in a lot of them. Do you ever sit down and talk to those guys about the deathmatch scene and kind of get a feel for how they were successful at it? Or is it something that you've kind of figured out on your own without having to talk with people within that particular genre?
I've talked to Pondo and Tracy in the past about it. It has been a couple of years, though.
Honestly, I think it's more of a thing that if I'm willing to do it, I'd probably just jump headfirst into it. Because I don't know if there's really a way to prepare for a deathmatch. But I'm interested in trying it. I have talked to a couple of people. Just I'm not sure exactly how one would prepare for such a thing. I think if I thought about too much about it, I probably wouldn't want to do it.
Understood. We talked earlier about the benefit show for JKO coming up on Sunday, and you, of course, are part of that. I know wrestlers get asked fairly frequently to be a part of various benefit shows, whether it is for a wrestler that has fallen on hard times due to injury or illness, or what have you, or if it's a fan that needs help due to some sort of tragedy, or sometimes they're raising money for a specific charitable organization. Just as a general rule, what is your outlook on doing benefit shows, and do you do very many of them during the course of a year?
I do a number of charity shows a year, the shows that are dedicated just to, like, raising money for, like, a single project. RCW does a cancer benefit show every year in South Bend, and I've done the last two of those since I debuted there last May. And but I'm completely open to doing benefit shows if it's a cause or something I can get behind. Or if it's, say, a benefit to raise money for a fan that's been around for a while, or even a fan that, like, hasn't been around that long. Even if somebody needs help, I'm open to doing it.
Well, Anthony, I know you have to get ready to prepare for your match tonight there at WCWO. So if there's anything you want to say in closing, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, upcoming shows, merchandise, social media, your favorite laundromat, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Thanks for having me on the show. Follow me on Twitter at Where's Your Hero. Follow me on YouTube at Anthony Lee Pro, and buy my t-shirts at ProWrestlingTees/LostCauseAnthonyLee.
All right. Well, Anthony Lee, thank you for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it. I know you got a show today. Give my best to everybody there at the Outlaw Arena, and definitely give my best to everybody Sunday for the benefit.
Absolutely. Have a good night, son guy.
All right. Fans, get out there. Buy a ticket to see Anthony Lee. You're going to enjoy his work. Very hard worker. Very, very, very good at what he does. Definitely, if you're anywhere near Indianapolis on Sunday, go support the JKO benefit. It's a great cause. JKO has helped so many of us over the course of his career, which spans well over two decades now. He had emergency surgery this last month. His hernia exploded. He had to have surgery right away to repair that. So he could definitely use some funds coming in as he's unable to work for a while. Also, once again, like we said at the top of the show, best wishes going out to Tom Van Zandt. Tom had emergency surgery last night. He had a very serious medical problem. He is in ICU, but looks like he will recover within the next several days. You can find me tomorrow night at Northwest Pro. QT Vokes will be there. Hopefully not trying to scale the cage, QT.
Well, I probably won't attempt to scale the cage. However, I will cast a wary eye upon the crowd for any sneak attacks from Polychromatic. I don't know what her problem is. She and I just have not seen eye to eye ever since her entrance into that venue. Yes. Never seen eye to eye. She's like a kamikaze. Kamikaze. Yes.
Well, hopefully she won't blindside you with a chair. And if you're on your way to Northwest Pro tomorrow night, you can look forward to seeing the Northwest debuts of Jerry Bishop and Freya the Slayer. They are in this area from Alaska. Jerry Bishop, who got his start in Kentucky, making his Washington State debut, as is Freya the Slayer, who has wrestled almost exclusively in Alaska up to this point. I believe it will be Freya's second match at Northwest Pro. So definitely come see them. You don't get to see them in this area very often. And if there's a show anywhere near you, go buy yourself a ticket, support independent pro wrestling, wherever it might be. And QT, Sunday we are in for a treat. Sonny O'Mara is our guest. For the fans unaware of Sonny O'Mara, Sonny, due to a stroke several years ago, is not able to speak, but he has sent the answers to the questions we asked him in advance, so it'll be a little bit different type of show on Sunday, but I'm definitely looking forward to Sonny being the guest. It'll be a little different format than normal, but definitely going to be great for Sonny to be with us. QT,
well,
I shall see you tomorrow at Northwest Pro.
Well, Sonny, speaking of Northwest Pro, what if Freya the Slayer and myself, QT, were in a tag match against Mikey Mustache and Sonny Days? Who do you think would come out on top? Freya the Slayer and QT.
Are you going to start the match?
Starting would be very good on fresh legs. Fresh legs. Yes.
Then I'd have to go with Sonny and Mikey.
Well, all right. Okay, that might be pretty accurate estimation. Okay. And I myself also look forward to Sonny O'Mara. The questions have been forwarded, people. Questions have been forwarded. Yes.
They have. We have received his answers, and we will give them Sunday when we got Sonny O'Mara on the show. 1 week from today, QT. Speaking of Kentucky, like I just did, Victor Vargas will be our guest. He is a wrestler out of the Kentucky area, making a big name for himself. He's already wrestled in several states and is relatively new to the business, gaining traction at a very rapid rate. I think fans are going to be very interested in him, so definitely make plans to be with us in the next week, and we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.
Oh, okay.